This is the Midweek Drive Morning Edition on Siren 107.3 FM.
And happy birthday, Sarah Huntley. Yes, as you said in the text, it's a big one today. So well done, Sarah. Just keep on keeping on. That's the important thing. The introduction and high tense wouldn't be the same. Also, a message from Katie Grimerson. She's just woken up and she's listening to the show. Well, that's what we're here for, really, to actually cope with undergraduates when they just think, ooh, it must be 9 o'clock in the morning. Oh, so I'll get up and do something now, really. I know, we'll listen to the Midweek Drive Morning Edition. The weather today, highs of 18 degrees centigrade, lows of 8 degrees centigrade, largely cloudy in the morning, but the cloud breaks, which will be taking place over the afternoon, will allow for bright or sunny spells by the time we actually reach the afternoon.
Keeping up to date with Beady the Wonder Horse, Dudley, Lola, Angel, Buster, Tarka, Misty, Jess, Fizburn and other animals on their tour of the countryside, it's Minty Steed on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition.
And currently making our way to Harrogate for Black Dog Hydrotherapy. And so much to actually go through in the next 10 or 15 minutes before we go off to the Bramham International Horse Trials. Minty, good morning, how are you?
All right, thank you, Ellie.
Good. So is it congratulations Let's just start again and not talk over each other. Shall we go back to some sort of basic radio discipline? Yeah. It's important. Would you like to go to Beady the Wonder Horse or to Dash and Toffee? Who do you want to speak about first?
I think we'll do Dash and Toffee first.
All right, then. Dash and Toffee. Explain for the benefit of Alyssa and Dave who Dash and Toffee actually are.
Okay, Toffee is my disability aid terrier. He's self-appointed one. He's self-appointed himself as being my disability aid terrier, so that's how it came about. And he does very well. He's a Patterdale, and he's known officially Patterdale, although his colour is sort of honeycomb with darker points here and there. And he's done well in various classes, etc. But he is pretty well novice at terry racing, only having a couple of goals before. And the last time he was in the Middleton Hunt Terrier boxes, he just sauntered out, came over to me and sat down beside me, and he didn't race at all. This time, he came out, talk about a pocket rocket, he came out like a full-scale rocket, and he beat everyone, and he won three races in a row, and he was champion racing terrier. And I don't know who was more shocked, I or the terrier racing fraternity, or anyone else around, because it was the last thing in the world I expected. I thought, and he can run, and I thought he'd join in, and he really went into the terrier box to be a sort of buffer for Dash, you see, so that Dash could sort of run alongside him and then take off in a true pocket rocket fashion, you know, with the rest of the racing terriers all being male, and she was the only female terrier racing. I thought, well, she needed a companion alongside her just to give her a start, you see, against them. And Julie, she came out as the pocket rocket she is, but Toffee found a gear far higher than she had or any other terrier there, and he just shot down and won race after race after race and became champion racing terrier. Everyone was...
He's not on drugs, is he, Minty? I mean, we just want to sort of clarify that.
No, just from exuberance of life.
It's all right, then.
And it was amazing. He just thought, oh, I like this. And off he went. And he was supposed to be a sort of, like a lead horse, as they put in racing. You know, that there's always one who's called a pacemaker. And he was supposed to be there just to set off the pace for Dash, you see, so she could break through this sort of wall of male terriers. And he did more than that. He left. It was the equivalent of if you put a pacemaker in the Derby, and everyone knows, and it's like 500-1, and the absolute Derby winner of all Derby winners has ever been is sort of literally 2-1 or even less odds, and that comes nowhere, and the pacemaker just went along for the ride and set the pace, won. That's how much of a shock it was to everybody.
Well, as long as it was a pleasant surprise. Ed, you have a question for Minty with her countryside expertise hat on about a fox.
Yes, yeah. Good morning to you, Minty.
Yeah.
Now then, I need to know about the hierarchy of things that might be running around your garden at about 4:30 this morning.
Yeah.
At my garden, not your garden, I don't think.
Yeah.
But I was woken up by a very strange grunting sound from outside. And it happened two or three times. Eventually got up, had a look, and there was a fox, big fox, and then a very small ginger cat. And it seemed, and the cat was chasing the fox round and round the garden. The fox had something in its between its gnashes that the cat wanted. Yeah. But, I mean, I would have thought that the fox would have just eaten the cat.
Well, fox horses don't bother. It's got what it wanted, so all it was going to do was go off somewhere quiet and eat it. It's not going to bother to turn around and attack a cat while it has its mouth full of some delicious morsel it's going to consume in a minute or two.
Ah, all is now clear. Sorted. I just thought it was a very, very brave cat.
It's like you queued up for 2 hours, you know, for some particular restaurant or something, and you sat down just about ready with knife and fork in hand, as it were, and next moment you just gave it up to go off after something else. I don't think you would you?
This is very, very true. We're off to Bramham today, Minty, my secondary side show experience of the year.
Yes, yes. And it will do you the world of good, because Bramham is quite an experience.
Well, indeed. We're all set and ready to actually go. In fact, as soon as we wrap at 10 a.m, we'll be getting into the vehicle, and away we go. Thankfully, Ed's
got four wheels again.
Yeah, exactly.
It's all good.
Always good. Always
it was
nice.
A bit iffy yesterday.
Yeah. Oh. So let's move to a success, obviously, of the Middleton Hunt with Dash and Toffee, first and second, respectively, from that point of view. Patchwork Pooch are actually preparing a special coat for these doggies to wear at the Great Yorkshire Show.
That's correct, yes. In progress now, it's a special sort of toweling type one, so you can put it over, and if you end up wet, which we do know is the best will in the world, you often get wet at shows more than you get the sun, so put it on, and it dries them while they're walking about, and it saves that sort of, which everyone knows if they have dogs, what you call that wet dog experience. Which isn't the best in the world to have in your cars, especially the family cars. I mean, the car and everything going with it is more for the dogs than us, I suppose, really, that way around. But a family car with one family pet in it, they definitely are not too okay with, and they certainly never forget if you get that wet dog experience in the car.
I've always felt the wet dog in the car is an experience you literally can never forget. Moving on from that, talking about wet dogs, Black Dog Hydrotherapy, Kim, of course, coordinating that in Harrogate today. It's the press shoot that you're actually having for the Canine Swimathon.
That's correct, yes, and we're hoping the Canine Swimathon will be about a week to 10 days before the Great Yorkshire. Then we can do the announcement at the Great Yorkshire as to how much, comes in from it, and make it a good all-round story. You know, with the hydrotherapy pool being only just barely half a mile out of Harrogate, and Great Yorkshire at Harrogate, it seems to fit in very well. So fingers crossed it'll all go to plan.
Indeed. Brocklesby, Staintondale, Dave, have you heard of those places?
Brocklesby, yes.
Not Staintondale. What's happening there?
Maybe.
Yeah. Minty, talk to us.
Staintondale is near Scarborough, and that's the terrier show, which Bob Gibson, who loans us very, very kindly his special terrier racing trailer, which takes the terriers in it, and we now use it, and that enabled us actually to take first and second in three races in a row, which he said, he came up at the end of the race and said, there won't be any terrier racing at Staintondale, but he was laughing while he was saying it. He said, there won't be any to end of the year, he said, because you weren't supposed to win. He said, he was supposed to win. And I said, I know. I said, well, there's more surprise between two of us. He said, he doesn't know. So, I take it there's terrier racing, otherwise he wouldn't have been joking about it. And it's a whole set of different classes of terriers and lurchers. And that's the Staintondale one, which is a very old hunt, you know. It's not one of the most prominent, like in over Middleton or anyone like that, but it's certainly a very well-established old hunt in the old-fashioned manner. And so that's that. There's a...
They know the time's coming wrong. They're getting into that sort of countdown. Yes.
Absolutely. And the one at Brocklesby, which is towards the end of June, if I'm correct, it's either the 23rd or 24th of June, Bob Gibson goes round specially to do the terry racing there, and it is a very, very big feature. Now, it's on the Brocklesby estate in Lincolnshire, so it's not difficult for anyone in Lincolnshire to know where that is, and it's a very, very good do. Terrier racing.
Let's just test that. Ed, as a Lincolnshire lad, Brocklesby Estate, are you aware of that?
It's
I may be.
Exactly. We may be, but we may
I'm
not
mixing
be.
It up with another one, I think. I'm thinking of one that's over in the Billinghay area, but I don't know whether that would be it.
No. Think Martha, like the Macclesfield Arbour, et cetera, when you come thinking of Bucklesby Estate. You're looking more into sort of further down the Winterton. You're looking more into, I would say, when you're like Ulfy and your old...
North Lincolnshire, like, then. North Lincolnshire.
You're down into that very countryside part Lincolnshire.
It's sort of on a line between Grimsby and Lincoln. Sort of
that's right, but slightly upwards. Slightly
exactly,
more towards
not quite
Ulfy.
Halfway, but a bit...
Hopefully you've got the map out of the application and you're actually working through this still.
There's a website, isn't there, Minty? Yes.
Yeah, I'm sure you'll find it, Ed. Just think as though you're heading up to Colmar, you're Messingham, Ulfy, Winterton type area, but remember that's more to your right. But if you're going upwards that way, so into Lincolnshire, yes, you're going to company sick.
When I get lost, Minty, I'll be giving you a ring, okay?
Because after all, you guided us in successfully, which we did do, we didn't get lost, so I'm sure. We can find a way. It means standing on top of the Zeria trailer and letting half a dozen scream at you so you can hear them and just follow the sound.
And finally, we actually have the news that Beedy, at a great age of 22 horse years, has foaled. She actually has given birth.
Yes, she has. A beautiful, fine filly foal. A very bold filly foal who makes herself known to you straight away. And within hours of being born, she was already ruling the roost. And her mother has become a very, very proud and protective mother. She's really taken to the maternity job here with gusto. I always thought she would. She had that look the first time I saw her. And she really, shall I say, she's justifiably proud because she's quite some cracky little filly foal. It's got personality in abundance and great character and very bold. And when she wanted to, Stuart came over to check everything was okay, and she wanted to get to the other side, so she reversed round with the foal, backed away directly straight under BD, turned round and faced Stuart head on, as if to say, who are you then? What are you doing? Now, it's not often you get a foal, just not a few hours, as it were, to do that. And he was very imperious, like, who are you? Name, rank and number, you know, and I've got to inspect you. And she wasn't at all. She didn't have that attitude, the vet, you know, run for the hills.
No, I tend to do that when I see a vet. Anyway, Ed, rather Dave.
I don't blame you, Alex.
Last two questions for...
It's a sensible thing to do.
Exactly. Last two questions for Minty, please.
Well, this will have to be my version, I'm afraid, Minty. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic chat with us today?
Of course.
You have. And do you think you'll be coming back again soon?
Oh, definitely.
Lovely.
I mean, I keep coming bouncing back. After all, when you start doing the things we've been doing the past few days and surprising everybody with doing the winning we've been doing, I think there's plenty to come back to talk about.
I'm just actually showing photographs of Beedy actually performing at last year's show with
that's
the
That's a very lovely looking horse, that, isn't
there we
it?
Are. Yes. Precisely.
Yes, she's a beautiful animal, and as I say, she's immensely proud. So,
I bet, yes. So what colour is the foal?
At the moment, you would take it to see her in the paddock as though she's black, but I would say, now all coloured ones do change their coat through, and the roams generally change, you know, for about a year, and then her leopard spot markings will come and
I see.
Interesting.
So I would say at the moment it could be on maybe a blue roan, you know, or a grey roan, but certainly there's a roan there underneath.
We'll just see.
Going to be very handsome.
Philip Hurdwood commented with respect to a photograph of myself and the Beedy, a lovely creature, horse is nice too, and Steve Kirkby thought, brilliant photo. So there we are, there's a little line there of a sort of in the field. Minty Steed will return back next week, of course. We'll be connected with a whole heap of other things as well. Up next, hopefully, we'll be live with Winnie Murphy, press officer for the Equitec Bramham International Horse Trials.
There's shadows at the door. The boredom stirs a ridge inside her soul. The razor reaches out and takes control. Baby, she's a wild thing, yeah. Baby, she's a wild thing, yeah. Baby, she's a wild thing.
So I was thinking maybe Crazy Horses, but I thought, no, Noah and the Whale. Not that you're going to get a whale, clearly, at the Bramham International Horse Trials, unless the weather conditions have really taken a turn for the worse. Mind you, we do actually have, Ed, a dinosaur at the upcoming Lincolnshire show, as we found out yesterday.
With two legs with jeans on at the bottom. Apparently.
Sure you'll all have a whale of a time.
Oh, dear.
Please. This is one of the reasons why earlier she was doing such a fabulous job with other radio services. I don't know, biscuit corporations and such. I mean, are there any other radio services than Siren FM? Bless her heart, she was actually coordinating that as the genius press officer that she actually is for the Equitrek Bramham International Horse Trials in association with the Yorkshire Post. A whole heap of other things. Winnie Murphy, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Alex. How are you?
Excellent. Delighted to connect with your good self. We thank Richard Fitzwilliams for stepping gainfully into the earlier sort of breach where we sort of juggled things around, but you're back with us now. So here we are, day one of the trials, which started off in 1974, and here we are, 2013, and presumably the weather we ordered specially for you, Winnie, you're quite pleased with.
Yeah, we're just waiting for the sun to break through here now. It's a bit grey, but that's perfect conditions for the horses. They're quite happy that way. Otherwise, it gets a bit too hot for them. But the main thing for all of us is it's dry. There's no rain forecast, and that's mainly what we need.
Yeah, I'm still actually getting the mud off my own vehicle from last year. But that's probably just because I just couldn't be bothered in all sorts of ways. But I think that's all great. We're coming along immediately after we've wrapped the show in around about 40 minutes from now. That's Ed Wellman and myself. Ed, it's your first ever International Horse Trials.
Absolutely. Good morning to you, Winnie.
Morning, Ed.
And look forward to meeting you later on in the day as well. But what can I expect? What do you think my first impression or my first view, you like, is going to be when we arrive?
Well, I'm hoping your first impression is just wow. It's an absolutely beautiful park here at Bramham. Obviously, you'll be confronted by our Tradestown village, where you can buy everything from a strand of pearls to a saddle to a horse box to pretty much anything you want. And then you'll come through the trade stands and you'll see the main arena where the guys will be doing dressage, which is always spectacular. The signs of sort of elegance and harmony of horse and rider. And then you'll come along to the press office where we're on a little bit of a slope, but we can give you some great coffee and some really great sandwiches.
I always think it's kind of like a mini version of badminton you actually set up there, Winnie, or indeed Burley. You know, it's a crucial sort of B thing there. Good question, because I know people have been confused about this. 9:40 a.m. this morning, the Equitrek guinea pig rider. You don't literally have guinea pigs riding on the horses, do you?
No, that would be quite good. I think that would make excellent television, giant guinea pigs. But no, we call the first rider who goes in, it's a person who's not competing, but the horses of the level of the horses that are competing. And it just helps the judges to get their eye in. They can see the arena's okay. They can just sort of make sure everything's all right. So it's just like a little practice for them before the competition starts proper.
Now, looking at the whole three-day event from that point of view, who would you say are pretty much favourites at this stage? Things can obviously change. I mean, we were thinking earlier that you've got that balance between horse and rider, etc. Any particular people you should say, yes, these might be well worth watching?
Yeah, we're lucky enough, we've got three members of the British Silver Olympic team here with us, one of which is William Foxpitt, who is, we call him Mr. Bramham. He just loves this place. He's got three horses entered across two classes, but two in the main Equitrek section. And one of those happens to be the horse he actually won on last year, a stallion called Chilly Morning. So he obviously must be in good form, and to come here again, the horse will be familiar and happy. So he's got to be bookie's favourite, I'd say. But we've got local rider Nicola Wilson. She always loves it around here. And also Zara Phillips brings two good young prospects. So I'm hoping for a British winner this year, but we've got some really good Kiwi riders and French and Irish, so who knows? But I've got a feeling in my water that we'll have a British winner this year.
That
should be good. Yeah, we can appreciate that. Ed, any other questions or queries you'd like to raise at this stage? As I say, it's always an exciting time after the first. I mean, we say the first day, but of course, really, the thing actually started off on, you know, yesterday 4 p.m. with the first horse inspection, really, at the front of the house. Now we kind of move into, as you mentioned, the dressage. Equine ballet is how I tend to refer to that one, Winnie, in terms of the coordination. But, you know, Ed, any other lines?
Yeah, Winnie, I mean, how did you find yourself kind of involved with this nature of countryside activity? How did you get into it?
I suppose I've always had a love of horses ever since I was a child. And when I sort of done my A-levels and you think, what do I do now? I needed something that I could keep, that would keep my interest. So luckily I stumbled across a college that did sort of quite high up qualifications with horses. I think I'm one of the only people in Britain who've actually benefited from a careers interview. But I went off to college and I did a degree in horses, and that took me into actually working on the administration side of eventing. I worked for the governing body British Eventing for 12 years, and now I work for British Dressage, which obviously changed the discipline. But it's sort of, I don't ride anymore. I did a lot as a child, but sort of this is taken over. So I prefer to be on this side than actually doing the riding.
Mm-hmm. And as we've said before, it helps undoubtedly as a press officer that you know your stuff. You know, you're coming at it from both angles. I mean, there are occasional areas, no names, but press officers get involved with things. They haven't got a clue. You know, they just completely lost about the whole thing. You know, you might be talking about camel racing. It's not going to work at all.
Yeah, well, no, I like to think I sort of know what I'm talking about.
Dave, any thoughts or questions from yourself?
What's the weather like there?
It's just cloudy, but, you know, it's getting together. Sorry, Winnie, sometimes you think they'd listen.
Did you just tell us what the weather
she
was?
She did, yes. It's short-term memory day.
Senior moments. I hope you don't get senior moments.
It's going to get even better. That's the important thing. You can go online to www.bramham-horse.co.uk. Are tickets still available to actually come along if people sort of say, if they thought, actually, I've just realised this is what we need to do this weekend. We need to make our way to Bramham. Can they actually pay on the door?
You can, yep. Tickets are available on the gate. We have a members section where you get a ringside seat. That area is sold out, but there are plenty of free seats along the series, so you won't miss anything. But note, there's plenty of people on the gate happy to take your money and welcome you in.
And legally, of course. It's not a case of...
Not
highway robbery, just to clarify that.
No,
you know, it's otherwise,
no guns involved.
Yeah, exactly, into a whole range of things. Winnie, it's been fabulous just getting a little flavour of day one of the Equitrek Bramham International Horse Trials. A few plugs, of course, for the sponsors. Always nice to actually work that thing through. I notice Equitrek, obviously, there. We've got Bishop Burton College involved. Any other names you want to sort of mention? I mean, I see the Firefighters Charity, presumably not as a sponsor, but something that's connected with the whole thing.
Yep, they're our fundraising partner this year, so there'll be guys out shaking buckets. And they're here with some of their appliances demonstrating what the firefighters do. And also their large animal rescue unit, because they do a lot of work around the country pulling horses out of ditches and things that have had accidents on the road. And it's a part of their service which they say is becoming ever more necessary. So they're here doing demonstrations, which is great to have them on site.
Absolutely. And we've got Bonds Dickinson?
Yes, yep. They sponsor a huge water complex, which is always a favourite with spectators.
It's going to be splendid. And, of course, we a little name check to Nicholas Pritchard, who's the event director for the whole system there. We'll hopefully be connecting with you in about, let's see, Lincoln to Bramham. I'll estimate probably around about an hour and a half, 2 hours. We'll look to be there by lunchtime, I would have thought, Ed.
Great. We'll keep some sandwiches for you.
There we are. You see, I do remember last year when I was working with Hannah O'Brien, we unfortunately missed the turning up and ended up having to go through York and the A64. Hopefully that won't happen today, you know. It's
yeah.
Coming up from the south, so we'll follow that thing through. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us, Winnie Murphy?
Yep, great to speak to you.
So hopefully we'll connect with you again in a few hours.
Yep. You're a troublemaker. You're a troublemaker.
You ain't nothing but a troublemaker, girl. You had me hooked again from the minute you sat down. The way you got your lip got my head spinning around.
Ollie Murs featuring Flo Rida, or indeed Florida, Troublemaker. Well, We've been through the Equitrek Bramham International Horse Trials. We've visited Richard Fitzwilliam's views on Byzantium. We've focused on Bullfest, or rather the Bull Foundation, with Ian Lennox. Of course, Dave Kenyon's still in the studio. And we found out about Black Dog Hydrotherapy Swimathon for Canines in Harrogate. What do you think we should actually be focusing on now if we're looking at potential troublemaking and coleslaw, Ed?
I think we should be focusing on mayonnaise and cabbage.
Mayonnaise, cabbage.
Is it cabbage or is it carrot? And, you know, stir it all together, a bit of salt and pepper, and William Sitwell in there as well.
The finest in gourmet criticism and foodie delights. And the author of A History of Food in 100 Recipes. Quite clearly a question of quality personified. It's William Sitwell on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition.
So far, William, good morning, by the way. We have focused on the need to ban Morris dancing, and now it seems we've moved on to coleslaw.
Yeah.
What's that? I mean, we launched this last week. I mean, Ed, you bonded with William over this, right?
Yeah. Particularly over that type of coleslaw, which is a bit like, you know, the liquid that you'd clean your paintbrushes in, and it just dribbles white and see-through and the odd blob in it. And that's the sort of
Dave, are you a coleslaw fan, or...?
I am a bit of a coleslaw fan, if truth be told, yes. That's a bit of a sad admission, but... There it is. It's out there now.
Are you at a motorway service station somewhere, William?
No, I'm cycling through London. I'm on my way to my office, having had it was a Wednesday night, so it was always quite large. There was no coleslaw on the menu, I'm glad to say. I mean, first of all, cabbage is, and I've said this for some time now, cabbage is the devil's vegetable. Brussels sprouts are the second cousin once removed from the devil's vegetable. I actually think that... Since coleslaw is so disgusting, someone should go the whole hog and use kimchi, which is the fermented cabbage. It's the stuff they kind of bury it underground, don't they? And in Korea, they dig it up when it's pungent.
They bury lots of things underground in Korea, yes.
Well, yeah, not just people, but, you know, cabbage. And I think maybe we should
make... People with cabbage.
People with cabbage, they bury them alive. Yes, exactly.
Obviously, these kind of geopolitical comments don't necessarily reflect the views of Siren 107.3 FM.
I should hope not. It'd be a bit weird if they did, wouldn't it?
It would, you know.
You'd lose your broadcasting license fairly speedily, I would imagine.
Well, precisely. There we are, you see. And with managing editor Andrew David back in the house, so to speak, we want to make sure that he feels calm.
But Alex, as you know, I mean, you know, I have called for many things to be banned over the years. Mm. My assault on chocolate orange continues. As does my relentless assault on Morris dancing, my ceaseless bid to try and bring back Bullseye. It's a sort of antidote to all the anger. And to be honest, I'm failing on all these counts. So it's slightly depressing, I have to say. But I think, actually, my campaign for ban coleslaw could gather momentum in the same way that our campaign to get Britain cooking and get people to put more food in their baskets and to expand their recipe repertoires. Because, as you know... there's at least two or three people in your village who are cooking more than they were before. So I think, you know, we're off to something with the coleslaw.
Yeah, you see, it's just never, things fall together. A message from Katie Grimerson has just woken up again, so she's listening in now. So that's nice to see our Birmingham sort of correspondent. Exactly, it's tuning into the whole system. Next week, of course, cycling. We'll be focusing on a grand Newark bike event that's taking place. But just describe the scene, William, in terms of cycling. And I'm very impressed with this. It shows that the editor of Waitrose Monthly and author of A History of Food in 100 Recipes is clearly ecologically friendly on this side of things. So,
I mean, he's also breaking the law. But, yeah, I'm cycling at the moment down Old Brompton Road in London, just going past the Drayton Arms. And it's a very beautiful day. It's a good day on which to launch my campaign to ban coleslaw.
Which is wonderful. Great news as far as sales of Waitrose Monthly are concerned, because they just seem to be going through the roof. You must be quite satisfied with that.
Yeah, we've upped the print run to about 650,000 a month. And it wasn't just Pippa who helped us do that. It was all of our excellent work. And I have to say, mainly the PR we get from being on your show. And you'll notice now that my correspondent has now been signed up by Vanity Fair as contributing editor.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So, you know, I've trained her up now.
You see, that's what we call setting the agenda for tomorrow. It's the classic routine. Dave, any questions you want to put to William about life, the universe, culinary arts, or indeed focuses on coleslaw or Morris dancing, or chocolate eggs, not chocolate eggs, orange, chocolate oranges?
I'm very impressed by your cycling and communicating and all the rest of it at the same time. That's very impressive. I wonder whether there's any more bannings in the pipeline. I'm very interested in the notion of banning the chocolate orange. I miss that one.
Well, there's a couple of things I also want to ban. Wind turbines and also pug dogs.
Pug dogs? No, they're lovely, pug dogs. Don't let them near wind turbines, though.
Yeah, that can be a very dangerous combination.
Absolutely. They leap at the blades as they go past.
Exactly. That's why they have such squashed faces.
Exactly. You've seen it as well. It's not a pretty sight, is it? No.
See, there are times I feel these links take on a surreal tendency, which you don't get on other radio stations.
Only time you're not listening hard enough.
It connects in all sorts of ways. William, what does the rest of the day have in store for your good self? We're off to the Bramham International Horse Trials. They will be found innocent, I'm sure. Sorry, I couldn't resist it. But what will you be doing in London?
Well, I'm on the Fred McCauley show at 10:45 this morning. Fred McCauley is a legendary broadcaster for BBC Scotland.
Yes.
And then I'm filming MasterChef from 11:45.
Excellent. And when do we see the MasterChef material?
Well, this is MasterChef the Professional, so this will be for the autumn. So we thought, and it'll come out in probably something like September or October. Mm. Long, long time after the hell of all the filthy
food. No coleslaw there.
Coleslaw free. Maybe I'll try and bring in a coleslaw reference. Somehow, that can be my trick of the day. Whatever happens, I must mention a ban on coleslaw.
Work it in, William. That's the important thing. You know,
the other thing,
down.
I'm also going to try and introduce the ban on men wearing red trousers.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. I nearly put them on as well today.
As I said, dress code for the Bramham International Horse Trials. You know, we haven't taken the photo shoot as yet.
Does that include Manchester United?
Well, banned football as well, but that's
another no controversy. He doesn't shy away from these things. Dave, would you like to throw those last two questions to William Sitwell?
Hello, William. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic chat with us today?
I don't know. I think we should put it to the vote, to be honest.
What do you think, Ed? Is it reasonable?
I vote yes.
Yeah, I'd say yes. I thought it worked well. Yes. Yeah.
Oh, right. Yes as well, then.
Listener.
There's a bandwagon coming here.
Yeah.
And can we look forward to hearing from you soon again?
Watch out for that truck, William! Sorry, I was just...
There are people wringing their hands.
Wringing their hands?
Don't worry. William Sitwell will return. Fingers crossed. Have you got the helmet on, by the way?
Yeah, of course I've got the helmet on.
Right.
I'm just cycling past the hospital where my father died. That's scary.
Yes.
I'm going to pass the telephone over to Ed to actually deal with that, because it's probably somebody coming in trying to actually reach the ISDN. William, we salute you. Take care. All the very best. And we'll catch up with you very soon.
Bye.
Bye.
So the reason for Fashion and David Bowie is we'll hopefully be going shortly to fashion stylist Brick Smith Start, who'll be talking about a new Ultimate Shopper survey, sex, shops and unworn frocks. The facts of this, basically 55% of British women admit shopping is more satisfying than sex. One in 10 purchases will never be worn, and a third of shopping trips with a partner end in a row. We'll see what happens with that one. Meanwhile, though, keeping the Bull Foundation fresh and radio-oriented, time for Dave and Ed to talk about something they might be doing connected with Bull. Dave.
Yeah, thanks, Alex. And I just thought the listeners might like to know that good old Ed, who's sitting alongside me, has got a Boolean-type project which he's beginning to pursue. And it's all about music.
Absolutely. The county jazz band is called Jazz Vehicle. They are absolutely superb. They've been around for coming up on 30 years now, run by, conducted by John Crouch, an absolutely outstanding musician and leader of that band. And they've been working with jazz musician Zoe Rahman of late, to develop their improvisational skills and to just have a bit of additional input into their rehearsal. So we're going to hopefully connect with the band over a period of time and kind of chart the progress, if you like, and all the things that they're getting from this.
Yeah, that's the hope. I don't know, have you been talking to them a bit more about it and sorting it?
Initial contact made, but we're waiting to sort of develop and to see if it's going to happen.
And the reason why it's slightly Boolean, listeners, is because we think it might be possible for them to, along with Zoe, compose something to recognise George Ball and Lincoln in connection, etc., and play it at various venues, hopefully. Now, Zoe's working with the band over the next year and a bit, and so we're hopefully, by 2014, which unfortunately is the 150th anniversary of George Ball's death, there may be a piece to perform around the county and around the world, maybe. And then he was born 200 years ago in 2015, so it will continue, hopefully, to be performed in celebration. And we're hoping for, the Boolean Foundation is hoping for more of these sort of cultural-type projects to go on surrounding this extraordinary bloke and his legacy of everything digital, which nowadays, let's face it, is almost everything. Even your toaster's got a chip in it.
Or a chip on it, depending on sort of the shoulder that you actually wear from. And if you are interested in the Bull Foundation, contact us here at Siren at 107.3 FM, sirenonline.co.uk, or you can always phone in. And well, how are the contact details there? How can people actually get in touch with Siren?
All kinds of ways. I mean, you can even walk in here and talk to us.
Good grief.
You know, is there anything digital? If the door has to be opened electronically, obviously. Mm-hmm. You can find us at the University of Lincoln. You can Twitter us at SirenFM. You can text us 077 978 100 716, and landline, which is 837 337.
Precisely.
What about carrier pigeon? Can you do that?
Hits the glass. Dave, there's a pile of pigeon feathers outside the window.
Yeah,
they fly in, bang. It's not fair on animal rights and all that.
It's like pugs and
turbines.
From the John Wenham Diary this week, Steve Hill, Lincoln's Harding House Gallery, from Sunday the 8th of June to Sunday the 14th of June, from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Mondays through Saturdays, and 12 noon through to 4 p.m. on Sundays, there'll be an exhibition of glasswork by Kevin Wallhead, Lincoln-born artist Kevin Wallhead, taking the viewer on a journey from his beginnings at Lincoln College of Art to the present day. Natural progression in Kevin's work has taken him from humble beginnings to an artist receiving much acclaim, and also presented him with the opportunity to produce work for many prestigious organisations, not least being commissioned to produce and present work to Her Majesty the Queen in 2002 for her Golden Jubilee. So that's Harding House Gallery, if you're interested in seeing an exhibition of glasswork by Kevin Wallhead from Sunday the 8th of June, Saturday the 8th of June through to Sunday the 14th of June. Very quickly, Lincoln Theatre Royal will be featuring Steaming, directed by Andrew Linford, a play which has been around for quite some years, actually, often referred to as All Those Women in a Steam Bath, which is pretty much it. But we've got a cast which leads with Rebecca Wheatley, best known as Amy Howard, the receptionist in the BBC series Casualty, Kim Telforth from Bad Girls and London's Burning, and the Knock star Michelle Morris, who will be performing at the Lincoln Theatre Royal in Steaming. Tickets for that one, £15, concessions £13, and inquiries as ever to the Lincoln Drill Hall. Sorry, Lincoln Theatre Royal. Please.
Oh dear.
Fatal mistake in any ways there. Lincoln Theatre Royal, 01522 519 999. I've noticed one or two people say we don't give out the dialing code for Lincoln. No, we do if you're using mobiles. You have to have full dialing code there. It's very crucial.
Yes, that's true. Yes.
Ed, yes.
Just a moment to mention that there's a book launch on Tuesday night next week. That's the 11th of June, 8 o'clock at the Starbucks Cafe. That's near PC World and those large shops on Tritton Road, and it's an interesting book. It's a photographic biography depicting the work of local author Asha and the work that she's done in the slums of New Delhi over the past 25 years. And I'm going along to meet her, and you're most welcome to do the same thing. That's Tuesday, 11th of June, 8 o'clock at the Starbucks on Tritton Road.
I'm thinking to myself, we're approaching 9.45. Pretty precise, 9.44 and 42 seconds. I'm currently looking at the ISDN machine, which, for the benefit of the uninitiated, is an integrated systems digital network, which, as you know, Ed, has often given us one or two challenges in this studio. 1B, no worries whatsoever. Going to 1A, dial out, nothing happens, line idle. We are currently awaiting stylist Brix Smith Start to quite literally make a start to actually connect with us. It's now 7 seconds past 9.45. I'm thinking we might have one or two challenges. I might well be actually either getting another call through, or we might be sending Ed out to see what's up. We might indeed have to go to that traditional landline to have an alternate to actually get in touch with her, to squeeze her in before the end of the show. It's all ahead of Ultimate Shopper for TLC, which is a fabulous scenario from that point of view, and hopefully we'll connect. But meanwhile, I mean, what do you think, Dave? What would George Boole do in an instance like this, where you're looking at the technology, it's switched on, you're looking at the green lights there, and all you're seeing is line idle?
Well, I think George would probably have been looking for the horses, because, of course, it wasn't even a steam world when George was born. Not in Lincoln, it wasn't, anyway. So I think he'd be wondering, surely, if we're going to have communications, it's got to involve a horse.
Hmm. If you can actually decode the meaning behind that, go and call us now. Siren 107.3 FM, probably not via ISDN.
They seek him here, the flyer. In matters of the cloth, he is as thick as can be. Because he's a dedicated follower of fashion. He's a dedicated follower of fashion. He's a dedicated follower of fashion.
Splendid. I think we're almost getting there. After the Kinks, of course, and dedicated follower of fashion, we will hopefully be sort of connected now. And we can actually say, all being well, if the magic actually works, have we got the true legend and wonderful soul who is indeed Brix Smith Start online? Are you there?
I am.
Yay! A technology Alexander Graham Bell didn't quite appreciate what he was setting up, as far as this is concerned. Brix, as we said earlier, to me, without your good self, Fashion Fix would just not have worked as a show. Gokwan clearly needed you essentially to work through that. I'd just like to start off with that, because that's, you know, it's critical to get these whole things to put together, let alone the notions of, obviously, your work on This Morning, the Culture Show, Sky One's Angela and Friends. But here we are with an Ultimate Shopper scenario, and 55% of British women admit shopping is more satisfying than sex. I mean, is this just retail therapy taken to another level entirely?
You were... I heard that statistic, and I was a tiny bit shocked, but actually I really understand it, because the other day I was doing something. I went somewhere and I bought something. Oh, makeup, because that's what I indulge in. So I bought makeup, and I felt I was buzzing after the makeup, and I go, this is really good. I think this is what they call a shopping high, you know? So, yeah, weird, right?
It makes sense. I mean, this other crucial thing, which I think has been an age-old battle between the genders, a third of shopping trips with a partner can end in a row.
Yeah, that's interesting too, because basically sometimes you see women get really excited about stuff, and then you see men who kind of, like, you know, put down their ideas and want to get out and don't want to spend the money, and we call them spoilers in the business because they spoil the sale, you know? And then arguments, and the woman looks too sexy in the outfit, and the man gets threatened. You know, it's really interesting. Or he just wants to go home and watch football. It can be problematic.
So in terms of how this ties in with Ultimate Shopper, which actually sounds like one of those extreme sports in many ways, and maybe there's a point for saying, you know, shopping can be like an extreme sport if you take it to that competitive edge. What are the key things from your own perspective that are coming out of this? Because obviously the survey itself, 2,000 British adult females in relationships were surveyed by a new TV channel, TLC. Is it tender loving care, or is
it could be?
Well,
yeah.
Yeah.
It could be the Learning Channel.
Oh.
The loopy channel.
That's just... It could be that.
But, I mean, finding out the shopping habits of modern British ladies, I mean, I can see the kind of marketing opportunities for this, but were there any surprises that came out from the results from your own perspective?
Okay, well, let me just explain to you the show a little bit. Mm. Basically, we take four women each week. Each one of those women believes themselves to have fabulous personal style and to be great shoppers. They're all different ages. They all have different styles for sure, and they're different shapes. Then we give them a brief, and we say, like, we give them three over the day, and we say, right, for instance, today, ladies, you're going to dress to meet the queen. Let you loose in a super fabulous dream store with no budget, but you only have 20 minutes to find your clothes, get dressed, and come back. So off they go with their wheeling trolleys like supermarket sweep and start grabbing everything. And what usually happens is that the women panic. They think they're so great at it. They get in the store, they're overwhelmed. They forget about sizes. They forget about shoes. They forget about accessories. They don't even listen to the brief. They just hear meet the queen, and then, you know, they don't take into account all sorts of other things that go with it. So over the course of the day, you know, people get eliminated. We have three challenges. One is a posh challenge like that. One's a glamour challenge, a sexy glamour challenge that usually involves the beach in some way. And the third one is red carpet. And the winner at the end of the day wins an entire wardrobe of everything they picked for the whole day.
And are there times where you sort of look at this whole thing as an advisor, you turn around and think, you've made a huge mistake there. Just don't. It's just don't go there, basically.
Sometimes, I mean, sometimes people do it better than other people. You know what I mean? For me, I mean, some people just don't listen, and it's like, that's the mistake. But for me, I'm looking for the contestant that's going to listen to the brief but put things together in a really creative way and surprise us. So I'm looking for creativity, maybe even breaking the molds of the envelope with which we give them, but, you know, working it and showing their own personal style peeping through, if you see what I'm saying. The other judges may be more harsh than I am.
Well, yes, but it's the end of the day. At least you can have karma. That's the whole thing. You know, you've got to keep that positivity going. Now, we've got three blokes in the studio today because most of our female co-presenters, they've gone off to do all sorts of things or they're asleep. I don't know. Very difficult. Ed, you're obviously set for the Bramham International Horse Trials. Any quick questions for Brix you ought to throw in at this stage?
Yeah, the shopping thing.
That's a typical bloke thing, isn't it? The shopping thing.
I mean, I shudder at the thought of it. It's something that I think it must be done first thing in the morning. You get in there, you get out of there as quick as possible with the least amount of financial damage. You know, I'm really sorry that that's how I've grown up thinking, but, you know, I don't know what I need to do to kind of alter my perceptions, apart from having listened to what you said for the last 10 minutes, of course.
I wish I could come there and take you by the hand and take you shopping myself and show you the joys and pleasure of it.
I think that's an opportunity.
Yeah, I think there's another series that we can work on here. We'll get our people to speak to your people. Who knows what could happen, Brix?
Can I just say one thing to Ed? Because this is really important. Actually, when you get your clothes right, you can change your life, because clothes are a very powerful tool that you can use, because you're saying something about yourself, and people do judge you on first meetings. For instance, color is so important. If you get your color right, you look healthy, fit, radiant, and psychologically you feel better. If you're wearing colors that don't work for you, it can ruin your day. It's really subtle and psychological. I'd love to show you through that minefield.
Am I doing the right thing in having put on a yellow tie to go to the horse trials? Is that a huge social faux pas I've just committed, or will that be okay?
Well, I don't know what you look like, and I can't see your coloring, but when I think about yellow, I think it's positive, optimistic. It's about abundance, which you're going to the horse trials, so obviously you want to win and you're a competitor. And I think it's actually a very positive sign, just thinking about the color yellow. And also, it's sunny outside, so you're accessorizing yourself to the beautiful British weather.
And said without a hint of irony, which is wonderful.
No, today I'm smiling and happy, sunny.
We've just actually had a text in from Katie Grimerson who says, OMG, Brix, fantastic. So
yay.
Huge fans. Exactly. Dave, quick questions for yourself.
Well, I just wonder, the show sounds a bit like sort of Apprentice Shopper. Have I got the hang of it?
Yeah, it's kind of a cross between a MasterChef type format and Supermarket Sweep with a little bit of Project Catwalk. So, yeah.
Genius.
Yes, brilliant. It's fun.
Just like shopping, none of those references mean much to me, I'm afraid.
It's high
Never
concept.
Mind.
Exactly. Listen, Briggs, it's been fantastic connecting with you today. Let's get the plugs. Launching today, 8 p.m, TLC Ultimate Shopper, pitting four fashionistas head-to-head at a series of style-based challenges to find Britain's ultimate shopper. Fantastic stuff there. Two final questions for you, yourself. First of all, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on this, your Midweek Drive Morning Edition debut?
Of course I have. It's been magical.
So can we look forward to, who knows, maybe actually taking you up on that whole routine and actually sort of, at least connecting with us again telephonically in the not-too-distant future?
100% yes.
Yeah, a round of applause for Brick Smith. Perfect end to the programme. Yay!
Tell Ed good luck. Good luck, and give his horse a kiss from me.
So there we are.
Buy a horse first this morning.
Of course, we could go into Mr. Ed, but you're too young to remember that, Brick.
Of course I'm not. Mr. Ed, the talking horse. And they got him to talk by putting peanut butter under his lip.
And that's something we won't be trying at the International Brabham Horse Trials today. But, you know, who knows? Maybe with equine gymnastics, possibly. Bricks, many thanks. Take care now.
Bye. That there, let me break it up. All the pressure that you got.